And today I want to be looking at something. Remember, round about the summertime, before we got into looking at our way of life, I was obsessed with grace. I mean, grace was just like grace, 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 and I still am. Because the grace of God is just so amazing, and I don't think I've yet fully understood it. But what it does is it changes your life the more you get a revelation of grace. And God is, and that was important for us as a church, because the way of life is not about keeping rules. It's about the gracious outpouring of God's gifts to us and us stepping into that grace of God. That's what the way of life is about. It's not about ticking all the boxes and saying, I'm a great Christian because I prayed today. It's about the grace of God that enables us to come near to Him in prayer. And so this word, this concept, God has just been placing it on my heart. Remember last week Sue was saying about how sometimes God just keeps on dropping things into your heart. And for her, it was fellowship. But this has been the word for me, just hope, hope, hope. And not just simply because of where we are as a world today, but we do need hope, don't we? But because God wanted to help me to see what hope is actually really all about, and because I need it. Me, personally. Okay, maybe you don't. But I do, and I've needed it this week, so I'm going to share a little bit about that. At the top there is our mission statement as a church, to be a habitation of God's presence within the community. Our role is to bring hope wherever we go, to be hope wherever we go. And that's what our role is as a church, and that's kind of where we're going in our way of life, in our values. Our mission statement is that in Ormskirk, in Skelmersdale, in the places where you are, to be that habitation, that dwelling place of God's presence, because God's presence brings hope. I've ruined the punchline of my sermon. There you go. But that the hope that the world talks about is often the opposite of hope. It's doubt, isn't it? I hope the weather's nice tomorrow means, well, it might not be, isn't it? I hope that things work out okay for you means they might not. Fingers crossed. Maybe we wish that they will do, but maybe they won't do. Yesterday, I had a boiled egg around about 10:30, and I'd boiled it about 3 days ago, and I'd taken it to school, and I'd been in my warm, sweaty office, and then I brought it home again because I forgot to eat it, and Adrian put it in the fridge. So I went upstairs with my boiled egg, and I said to Adrian and Hannah, if I eat this boiled egg, will I die? And Hannah said, I hope not. And it kind of wasn't the answer I wanted. I wanted no. That's what I wanted. I wanted no. But I ate it anyway, and I'm still here, so that's great, isn't it? It was really nice. I love a good boiled egg. But you know, like if you're going to go in for surgery and you say to the surgeon, am I going to be okay? You don't want him to say, I hope so. You want him to say, yes, you're going to be okay. But you know, the way that we use hope in the world, when we talk about hope so often, it's kind of that it may not be. And that's the opposite of what the Bible is all about. The Bible is this, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Our hope is an anchor. The world needs an anchor hope, not a maybe hope. It needs the hope of the Bible, the hope of God, the hope of Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Some of you may know that off the top of your head. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And we've had a bit of that, haven't we, over the last few months and years? A bit of a deferred hope. A hope is going to sort itself out. And here we are again with our face coverings and our distances and our hand sanitizer. And I was hoping we'd be all sorted out and I wouldn't have to be worrying about my staffing for next week and my how many bubbles am I going to close and all that sort of thing. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. I think we've got a bit of a hope sick world at the moment. That uncertain hope, what we need is an anchor hope. But the next part of that verse says this, a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. That's what we're going for. And that's what the hope is of the scriptures of the world. But that hope, if it's going to be an anchor hope, can't be our hope. It's not a hope in me, in my circumstances, in my resources, in my ability, in the people around me, in the leaders, in the people in school, in the government, in anybody else. I can't hope in all of those things because they're not certain. It has to be a hope, and the hope in God, and the hope has got to be and is a gift both from God, and it is the gift of God. It is the hope is the gift of God. So Matthew 12, verse 21, we see there Isaiah being quoted, and it says this, in his name, the name of Jesus, in his name, the nations will put their hope. So the disciples were there and they were at the cross. And this Jesus that they had hoped in and that they had believed in, they saw him being nailed to a cross. We kind of like treat that like Ruth was saying before. Sometimes we say these things and we're just like, oh yeah, we've heard it a million times. He was nailed to a cross. This person that they had all followed, he was nailed to a cross. And they saw him die. They saw the spear go into his side. They saw the blood and water pour out of his side. And they saw him die. Where was their hope? Well, it went, didn't it? They hid away in their homes or in the houses because they were worried it would happen to them. Peter himself denied that he knew Jesus. His hope, all the hope that they had clung to was gone. So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. This very Peter that denied Jesus. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The hope that we have is the hope that has been established and founded and begun, beginning and end through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe in a God that died and rose from the dead. If that's the resurrection hope that we have, there's no chance that we can give up because Jesus died rose from the dead. He died and he rose from the dead. And so these disciples, when they met the risen Lord, suddenly they went from hopelessness to hope. They were filled with hope, and it empowered their ministry, and it grew the church, and it enabled them to face persecution and suffering and struggles. Which leads me to one little point I want to make. Hope is not about getting that Ferrari that you want around the corner, or that great job that you want, or about something else that you want. It could be. Hope is about, in the middle of all this, we have someone that we can look to. Somebody powerful, somebody who loves us. So this week, I was feeling a bit, what's your word? Self-pitying. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to just lay it out there. I was just like, Monday morning, woe is me. You know, back into school. Oh, no, it's going to be awful. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be like a nightmare because it was and it always has been. Yeah, you know, moan, 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 moan. And I realize that Adrian's getting a bit sick and tired of it as well, which is fair enough. I mean, she doesn't say that, but you can tell in her eyes. And it's just like, ugh. And then I just kind of, something happened within me, because I was preaching this. And it was kind of like, God almost said to me, do you what, lift up your eyes, because I have got so much hope for you. But your hope is in me. And so I made the choice and the decision that I was going to hope in God. And I don't know why or how, but it changed my outlook. It changed my perspective. It didn't change my circumstance. It didn't change what I'm going through, but it changed how I went through it. And over this week, when I felt a little bit grumpy and moody, I felt, and that song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. I mean, it's so powerful, that song. It just keeps going through my head, going through my head. And every time I've sung that song, I've felt my heart rising up. And so in Isaiah 40, verse 3, it says this, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. If you haven't got any strength left, then hope in the Lord. Not in your circumstances, not in yourself, but in the Lord. And we'll talk about how we do that in a minute or two. Can we go to Lamentations? I had to look where this was. It's 771 in my Bible. Okay. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 to 23 says this. In fact, I'm going to start at verse 19. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. You know, that cascading love. I love that picture that Sue gave us last week. The cascading love of the Father. How beautiful was that? Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Love it. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Wonder Tom, could we have the next slide on, please? So, I love the, there was a sermon I was listening to by John Piper about hope, and he mentions the Hoover Dam, this is not the Hoover Dam, as an image, and I think sometimes it's good to have an image of, well, what is this hope then that we're talking about? This is the Kerr Dam in Montana, and this generates enough power for 150,000 people, which is a lot of power, isn't it? There's a bigger dam, it's called the Three Gorges Dam in the Yangtze River in China, which is not one I really want to talk about because environmentally it's not so great, but it provides power for 20 million people. Wow, how amazing is that? And what John Piper was saying, and I think is a great picture, is that the hope of God is like this reservoir of water which is up there. And it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, the faith and the love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven. So why is hope important? Hope is our source of power. Hope is our source of energy. Have you ever walked in the room and somebody has started talking to you and they're really glass half empty person? Have you ever done that? I know none of you here are like that, but that kind of that hopelessness that comes in, you come away thinking, oh yeah, life is rubbish, isn't it? And alternatively, and I've said this before, you meet somebody and they're just full of hope. And you come away from them thinking, yeah, life's all right. Remember meeting Steve Hebden in the service station. I've said this many times. He was coming out of the men's toilets and I was walking in. And so we had a coffee afterwards. And we didn't even speak that much about Jesus, but I came away feeling full of hope. Because he's a man of hope. And it was like the storehouses of heaven had all of this hope and it gushed through to bring this power into my life, into our lives. And so what hope does is, if you're feeling powerless, if you're feeling like you've got no strength, if you've got no way forward, then God is saying there is a storehouse. Have we heard about storehouses this morning once or twice, haven't we? Storehouses of hope for us that we can draw on and that we can call on. And it's amazing, this source of power that we have got there, and it is stored up for in heaven so that no one can touch it. Nothing can damage it. Nothing can diminish it. Nothing can take away from it. It is stored up from heaven. So whatever you're going through and struggling with, there is hope, and it is there forever. There is a gift of hope that is there forever, won for us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it's there for us. And I love this picture of this reservoir. And so over this week, I've just been imagining this reservoir of hope when I'm feeling a little bit hopeless and a little bit like overwhelmed. I've just imagined this reservoir and I said, and I don't know how dams work. You know, I assume somebody presses a button or turns something. I don't know. But whenever I felt a bit hopeless, I said, Lord God, I need that hope from your storehouse right now. And then what does it say? It says that faith and love then spring from that. And then I find my faith rising. Then I find my love for others rising instead of the bitter resentment that sometimes happens when you're just fed up of everybody's doing nothing and I'm working so hard and they're just really annoying me. But when I draw on the storehouses of heaven, that's where the faith and the love spring from. And then I can begin to operate in the realms of God in my life. So can we have the next slide on, please, Tom? And so, how do we then step into this dam? How do we draw on this dam, this reservoir of hope from heaven? How do we, in a practical way, do it? This is why we are looking at our way of life. Ta-da! Our way of life isn't just about ticking a box and being a great Christian. Our way of life enables us to draw on the hope of God. So, for example, in prayer, our source of hope is God himself. And as we pray, so when I'm driving to work in the morning, I'm lifting up my heart before God, say, Lord God, help me. and the hope of God fills my heart. When Jesus was on earth, why did he pray so much? Because he was surrounded by, I won't use the word, he was surrounded by people, human beings, who constantly sucked all the life out of him and all the hope out of him and overwhelmed him and demanded things from him. And so he needed to get to be with Father where the storehouses of heaven were and all the hope was, so that he could endure ministry, so he could endure the cross for the hope and the joy set before him. So we need prayer. And over the next few weeks, we are going to be looking at our life as a church, our prayer life as a church, as leaders. We were talking about this on Tuesday. So please, can I ask you, first and foremost, above everything else, can you pray about the prayer life of our church? Sue stood last week and talked about the fire on the altar, and we're talking about maybe joining in with that somehow. So please pray for us, because we want to reinvigorate our prayer life, and we're going to be speaking again about prayer. Now, if I had my way, we'd be preaching on prayer every single week, because prayer, we don't always know what we need, but one thing we do need is God. And when we're in that place where we're drawn near to him, then hope happens in our lives. And when we've got hope, then faith and love spring from that. And what about the Bible? Romans chapter 15, verse 4, if you've got that one. Romans chapter 15, I love Romans chapter 15. Maybe today spend a bit of time in it. Romans chapter 15 says this, and I'm looking at verse 4. Over the page, and it says this: for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through, I've never seen this before, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So if you're feeling a bit hopeless, read the Bible. That's basically what it says. Get that inside here. Read it, cover yourself with it, fill your life with it, fill your heart with it. Because it says that through the endurance and the encouragement of Scripture, we have hope. And there's other verses that you could read in Psalm 119, for example. And then the third one I want to look at here is worship. I don't know about you, but when I'm stood there on a Sunday morning and I hear Andrew play that first chord, now I love music. I spend all week listening to music. It's on all the time. I think it sometimes annoys Adrian. It's on all the time, all kinds of music. I love anything now. I used to be a bit picky, but I just love any music now. It's just fantastic. So it's on all the time for me. But nothing does it like when I'm there and I'm stood there and Andrew plays that first chord, suddenly I feel hope rising within me. And I don't know what it is being in this place with you guys, but something about worship restores hope to me. When you're singing at the front and when people are leading, when Beth plays that note, there is something that connects me with heaven, with the storehouses of heaven, and it's powerful. So Psalm 42, verse 5, is probably the key verse to look at there. 42, verse 5 says this: why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So if you're feeling hopeless, get into a place of praise. And then the final one that I want to look at, and we could look at fasting, we could look at silence and solitude, but I want to look at this one because it's something we can do today. That Sabbath rest, because resting is a way of restoring, as Ruth said earlier on, restoring our soul to not just what we were before, but the more that God has got for us. But it's about resting in God, having that time out with him. And it's saying, I trust you. My hope is in you. My hope is not in writing yet another policy that's going to sort me out. Or my hope is not in anything other than you, God. And so the Sabbath rest is telling us hope in God. Psalm 62, verse 5. It's quite a powerful psalm, and I'll finish with a couple more verses because I love the Bible, reading it out. Psalm 62, verse 5 says this: my soul, don't know where it is actually, my soul, it's right here somewhere. My soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Lord, as we focus on you today, forgive us that our hope has been so much focused on so many other things, on ourselves, on maybe other people, on circumstances changing. We want our hope to be found, Lord, in you. So today, enable us to rest in you. And so the final thing I want to look at, as we receive from the storehouses, from the dam of his hope, then we cascade it to others. So let's just finally go back to Romans chapter 15 again, and let's this time go to verse 13. I don't apologize for going into so much scripture. Do you know there's hundreds and hundreds of verses about hope, and it's so hard to just choose one or two. But this one is, let's finish with this. Because all of this hope that we have is powerful stuff. Hope isn't just like a nice thing. It's like, oh, we need a bit of hope. But hope is a power, is an energy. And it says here in Romans, I believe that faith, hope, and love are the Holy Trinity of the Holy Trinity. You know what? Sue talked last week about what happened before the creation of the world. I believe that hope and faith and love were there at the beginning of time, and they were part of the characteristic and the nature of God. And it says in 1 Corinthians 13 that what will remain, it says faith, hope, and love will remain. They are eternal. And in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow. Can we go back to the dam picture? So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's just pray. Father, I want to thank you for the gift of hope. And I pray, Lord, as we begin to explore what hope means, as we pray, as we worship, as we study your word, as we rest in you, Lord, as we get into our way of life and really embedding our way of life, the practices of Jesus in our life, that we would be people of hope, Lord, but not the hope of the world, but the hope of God. The hope from God and of God. The hope that we can cascade and pour out to those around us. But first of all, Lord, we need that for ourselves in our lives and our situations. And so we pray now that you would fill us with your hope, Lord God. That there will be a hope that pours out from heaven, a new hope, a refreshing hope. A hope that empowers us, that equips us, that enables us this week, today, to step into the more that you have for us, Lord God. In the middle of our circumstances, whatever they may be, there is hope, Lord God. As we go into tomorrow, for those who are going into places of work tomorrow, those who are going into St. Bede's High School tomorrow, those who are going out on the streets, those who are going shopping, that we would carry with us the hope of God, the hope that is stored up for us in heaven, and that faith and love would spring from that hope that we have, Lord God. That we don't operate in the hope of the world, but we operate in the hope of God. And that you, Lord God, would fill us with a revelation of what that hope means for us in our lives. And we would overflow with that towards those people that we come into contact with. Forgive us, Lord, when we've been in our pity parties. Forgive us, Lord, when we've seen ourselves as victims. And forgive us, Lord, when we've been overwhelmed. And Lord, you know you don't condemn us for that. But you are calling us now to lift up our eyes and our hearts and our lives to do everything it takes to draw on the storehouse of hope that you've got, the reservoir of hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.